How's everybody doing today? It's a wonderful, beautiful day out today. I would say so, no matter what it was doing outside right now, because God allowed us to live to see another day. That last song was talking a little bit about worry. You know, we worry too much as Christians. And I just want to tell you a little something that happened to me. And of course, you guys know nature is something that I look at all the time. I mean, in my job, I have to. You know, I'm almost like a Indian tracker, only with bugs. You know, I could tell you just by looking at the marks in the dirt, pretty much what kind of insect just came through there and all that. So I'm always kind of in tune with nature. I need to know what the weather is and all that. It kind of helps me with my job. And this past spring, me and my boss was talking, and he said, since the weather was so bad last winter, because you know we had a real bad winter last winter, it probably killed off most of the insects. And he thought this year would be bad for pest control. He said that. He was, it's like, man, I can't, you know, I know we're not going to have any business this year. And I disagreed with him. You know, God had made this world with so much resiliency that, you know, things snap back. And just as a side, you know, global warming, I don't worry about global warming. God said that the world will end when he says it's going to end. You know, we put too much worry and too much money sometimes into things that we need not worry about. It's not going to, this world ain't going nowhere until God says so. But I disagree with him. And because what I had witnessed out my window this past winter, or windows, we have this pine tree. And this past fall, I kept noticing how many pine cones, it was way more than normal, on the tree. And I couldn't understand that. But you know, God takes care of all of his living creatures. And even though we may not understand that, I started to notice that during the winter, every single day, the birds got fed. They would come at different times, different bird species. Some would be at the top of the pine tree, some at the middle, some at the bottom, some picking the seeds off the ground. They did things according to their own kind, but they all were fed each and every day, no matter how cold it was. And last winter was one of the coldest as well as one of the snowiest that we've seen in a long time. And guess what? Summer comes along, spring comes along, and we're busier than we've ever been before. You know, in my job in the summertime, it's almost like farm. We're it's like manna from heaven. We can't seem to bring it in quick enough, the business that we have. All from bugs. And all this worry over whether they were going to live and all these things about, you know, just looking outside and not thinking about God being in the plan. A lot of people get worried about that, but God was in the plan. As a matter of fact, we ended up with more mice, more ground squirrels, more everything than we have in the past. Coming through the worst winter that we've had in a long time. That tells me that God takes care of everybody and everything that he had created. And in Genesis chapter 1, and I love to go there a lot because chapter 1 teaches us a whole lot. But in chapter 1, what we do find out is that God cared for his living creatures so much that he put the food on the ground before he brought in the animals. In verse 11, if we can look at that, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yield seed, and the fruit tree yield fruit after its own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." In verse 12, it goes on to say, "And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after its own kind, and a tree yield fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good." So in God's perfect plan, food and care were provided before the animal life. God had everything already in place for him. And then God created all the animals after his own kind. If we read on, if we look down to in the same chapter, around verse 20, because he did everything in a specific order, according to his specific plan. It says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And the Lord saw that it was good. In verse 22 it says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowls multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And verse 24 goes on to say, and God says, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So God, as I was saying before, did everything in a specific order. Food first, then animals. That's how he cared. And then man, as a matter of fact. Very next verse talks about God making man. And you know, animals, plants, trees, and others that God created go on every day doing what God created them to do. None of them worry about anything. You know, God didn't promise them salvation or eternal life. Yet they still go about God's business every day. Animals and plants have good times and stressful times, just like us. Only they keep on track with God's plan and do what God intends for them to do. We sometimes allow the world to creep in and worry us. Commercials tell us we're driving the wrong car, not having enough fun, not making enough money. That's what the world tells us. According to the world, we never have enough money, things, places to go, and that we should always be reaching for that brass ring. And that's instead of the crown that the Lord offers. God's other creations are content with what God provided for them, never taking more than needs to carry on. And you know, when you're looking at the birds, you never seen a bird that was too fat to fly, have you? You don't see a lot of animals in nature. They stay fit. They don't eat more than they need to. They're not gluttons. They're not greedy. They eat only enough to keep them going, according to God's plan. Of course, commercials tell us that we never eat enough, and then other commercials tell us we eat too much. I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore. And then they want us to break away from God's natural fruits and nuts and this and that for whatever they got, and then 10 years later we find out that the things that they took us away from are actually the things killing. I mean, the things that they encourage us to do are the things that's actually killing us and not the things that God provides. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Paul talks about contentment. In chapter 6, right around verse 5, and Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, perverse disputings of men or of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourselves. These men are worldly men. They think that by gaining more and more, they're actually doing something. You know, there's a lot of, well, I won't even go there. But he was saying, stay away from these type of people. They're going to lead you in the wrong direction. They're going to tell you that you never have enough. Now, let's look at verse 6. Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you know that if you're not chasing after the Joneses. You have more time to do what God intended us for us to do. You know, a lot of times we're too busy looking at our neighbors and seeing what everybody else got, wanting to have what they have. Too busy trying to chasing them and chasing after what, you know, and everything that they say, life, what life has to offer. And it takes us away from what God would have us do. You know, if you're too busy working and working overtime, and especially when it's unnecessary, you don't have time for God. You don't have time to do what God would have you do. Be content with what you have. That's what I would say to us. You know, we need to be more content with what God has provided for us. If he wants you to be rich, you'll be rich. And we are rich, as a matter of fact. Those of us who are Christians, we have heaven. We are, you know, we're just waiting to go up there. But we already have a richness that a lot of people in this world can only dream of. In Philippians. Well, first, let me continue to read, because I did have two more verses in here that I wanted to read in chapter 6. Starting around verse 6 again, it says, but godliness is with great contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. We have all of, especially, and I can almost say without a doubt that all of us here have everything that we need to sustain us in life, comfortably at that. I would like us to turn to Matthew's for a minute. Matthew's chapter 6. In Matthew's chapter 6, starting at around verse 26, this is what Jesus is saying. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I'm sorry I didn't read that one a little earlier, but that would have went along with the beginning of my sermon today. And that's what I was saying. God feeds them. If we would just look closely at nature, we could see all of these things happening around us. God, all of his creatures, he cares about, and he feeds them. Yet we sit here and worry all the time, when God already has that in the plan. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4 and 11, I have learned that whatever state I am, that he would be content in that situation. That's what we should learn to do, and learn to be content with what God has given us. Again, he goes on to say in Matthew's chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus asks a question. Are ye not much better than they? Talking about the birds and the animals. And he says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Has worrying ever gained anything for you? I mean, really, think about it. What does worrying do? You know, worrying actually kills people. You know, you can worry yourself to death, literally. And a lot of times what we're worrying about is something that God has either already taken care of, or something that's really trivial in the first place. In verse 28 it says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye? And he goes on to say, O ye of little faith. God says, and Christ says in verse 32. Well, in verse 31, let's go here. It says, Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows all this already. And as a matter of fact, we say he knows all this, yet we still worry. We say God sees everything. God knows everything. God knows our needs and everything else, yet we still worry. What we worry about, Christian? What you worrying about? In verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why are we worried? Look at the evidence all around you every day. We can learn a lot about God's plan by studying how God provides for his creations and how they are content with God's plan. Sometimes we don't have enough time to just look at something as simple as nature. You know, and people, I mean, in studying God's word and everything, we find all these things out, but it's in evidence. It's happening every day around us. You know, there's no need to doubt. Birds have been here for thousands of years. Most of these animals have been here for thousands of years, always been taken care of, no matter what kind of storm, no matter what kind of weather, no matter what goes on, God takes care of them. And we are more valued than God's other creations. Yet we worry about everything. And that's a stumbling block before us. As I said before, too busy worrying and chasing after things that mean nothing and takes away time that should be spent doing God's will. And you know, as Christians, a lot of times, you know, we say to people when we're, I mean, not literally saying to them with our mouths, but when they see our actions, when we don't have time to come to church, we don't have time to do things for God, you know, and yet we want to talk to them about God, we show our importance by our actions. Well, if God's so important, why are you working overtime? You seem to have everything you need. Why are you working overtime? The car seems to run good. It gets you everywhere you need to go. You know, you can still make out everything on the TV. Does it have to be 60 inches, 80 inches? Does the people on the screen have to be as tall as you are right now? I don't think so. But see, it's the world that causes us to sit there and think that we actually need this stuff when we actually don't. They sit there and make us feel bad. You know, you see the commercial with the guy next door that's got the new car, sitting there washing it and everything, and the other guy sitting over there looking at his old clunker. I want one of those. And then you got some guy coming up. You can have one of those where $3,000 down and sign your life away. But you'll get it. But what does that have to do with your spiritual growth? I mean, if you were getting to church already with the vehicle that you have, what's wrong with that? You know, I have to resist that temptation myself sometimes, and I know we all do. We all want something better. We all wish we could be driving something better or doing something. But let me tell you this. Maybe God blessed us to be where we're at right now financially. You know, a lot of times, and you see this on those millionaire where they now type deals with these lottery winners, almost all of them are miserable. Oh, yeah, if I won $1 million, I'd give this to them, and I'd do this, and I'd do that, and you find out they didn't do any of that on top of everything else. Maybe it's good that we should stay humble and stay where we are. We have to remember that our treasures are up in heaven. We have to remember that God has a plan. God has already has a kingdom waiting for us. A lot of people down here, the little trinkets and the little things that they get around here. They think that's something when it's really nothing. And if that's all you want, that's all God will give you. But for those of us who want more, we need to stick with God and go along with God's plan. You know, when you do see animals tend to stray from God's plan, usually they don't live too long. Things happen. But for the most part, God has always had allowed all the animals to continue the way they have. And He's always blessed them, and He always blesses us too. Do you know that if every one of us could think back in time, there was a time when we weren't, either we were Christians, but we weren't acting in a Christian-like manner at the time, but God was still there for us anyway. You know, who here is starving? Who here is without clothes? Who here is without shelter? I ask you, what are you worried about? God blessed us with a rich country compared to the rest of the world. What are we worried about? You know, and it's funny, I catch myself sometimes when I'm thinking about myself being poor. And then there's older guys from the South over in Buchanan, who they grew up on a dirt floor, bathroom outside, and all this. I'm talking about being poor. Don't know what poor is. I mean, we've had times where we've been homeless for a little while, and we may not have eaten what we wanted to eat, but we've always had food, always had shelter. In this country, most people, I would dare to say, only go to the stars because they don't seek help, because there's plenty of help in this country through government and churches and other places. So what do we worry about? We say that we are God's people, Christians. We're supposed to emulate Christ. Christ didn't worry about nothing. Why should we? Sure, we're going to go through a little distress every now and again. Sure, we're going to have problems every now and then. But when I think about the problems that I have to face compared to the problems that Christians are facing right now in, say, Iraq or Afghanistan or some of these other places where they're being forced out of their churches, being told that they're going to die if they're not out of town by midnight. When I lay my head down at night in my bedroom, not worried about somebody kicking in the door and holding a gun to my head and asking me, am I a Christian? That's a blessing. And sometimes we miss that. It's a little selfish for us Christians in this country sometimes to talk about being poor and talk about having struggles. Because I don't think we know what struggling really is. And yet those people over in those countries, they'll sit there and they will confess Christ, even though through all that stress, even though it might mean death to them. I dare to think of what I would actually say if there was a gun to my head. And thank God that I don't have to worry about that. So as Christians, we have nothing to worry about. We really don't. And you know, God doesn't always answer the prayers the way we want them answered, but we have that faith, or should have that faith, that God is going to do it in the best way possible. But I would say this much, if you're not a Christian, then I'd be worried. Then I'd be worried. Because Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Sounds to me like us Christians have an advantage. And although the Lord loves everyone and really does not want to see anybody not have salvation in the end, it's something that you have to do first. You have to seek Him out. Seek Him out in a sincere way. Like I said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we could just leave this worldly stuff alone, seek God, seek His word, do with His will, we would have nothing to worry about. All these things are being added to us anyway. You know, that song that we sing sometimes, Count Your Blessings? maybe if we did that more, we would worry less. Because there's so many I believe that we could probably continue counting blessings from right now until the end of time, and we would still be counting them. That's just how blessed we are. So as I say before, what are you worried about, Christian? I mean, really. You know, even upon death, us Christians, we know that we have a place to go. That God has prepared a place for us. And even though that could be a sad time, it's also a joyous time for those of us Christians who have been Christians and know the promise that God has promised us. So, you know, there should be even joy and sadness sometimes as well. I know that's sometimes that's the one that's a little hard to deal with, but it's certainly true. So as I say, and I'll just leave this with you, how about you? Please pray for me, because, you know, this time of the year, with all of the appointments, with all of the troubles, with the traffic and with everything else, I mean, I need your prayers. I really do. And sometimes I find myself weak as well with this worldly stuff. I need your prayers about that too. God has blessed me with so much already, and it's hard for me to think what I don't have. So please keep me and my wife in your prayers. And please think of these things as we stand to sing the song that was prepared for our Savior's invitation.